Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio talking about Terror Rise Bible Study, which has been just a blessing these last couple weeks. Well, actually months. We've been doing it for a couple months
now. 7 months.
7 months already.
7 months. Can you believe that? And it was, I taught this at Grace Fellowship. It was the first place I taught the first outline a year and a half ago.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, it's the only time I ever forgot. I wrote down on my calendar the wrong schedule, and that I don't know how I did it, but my phone like moves the little dial, and it was at 11:30, and I had down 1:30. She calls me at 11:30, Tara. You're usually here a lot earlier, and I'm like, I'm just sitting here praying for the conference of the speaking this afternoon, and she goes, it's now.
Said, we're waiting for you.
I'm on my way.
Wow.
Oops.
Well, that's one of Tara's moments of prayer.
Hey, I was in prayer.
That's right. That's funny. So the last couple of weeks we've been in Luke chapter 11, and her study's called Wishing Forward, Seven Moments Jesus Prayed. And we've had such great dialogue just with the first two verses, or the first four verses of chapter 11, which is actually Jesus modeling prayer to the disciples, and how prayer is so intimate, but at the same time, so such a subject that needs to be taught on.
Mm.
And so we just had a discussion last week about the importance of prayer and actually finding other people that just listening to their prayers, so you learn to model. Because like what we talked about a couple sessions ago was that a lot of it is learned.
Yeah. And the only way to learn is to do it. You know, I remember the first prayer class I did at Westside here in Omaha 10 years ago when we first moved here. And Tanya and Robbie Scott, there's some Tanya, some friends of ours that everybody knows in this room, were some of the women in it. And, you know, the class started pretty large. And because I, without having been taught third generation word for trying to get the learner well beyond you to take what you're learning, I lived it out. And so I could not go in and tell them this is how to pray without making them. So whatever prayer model we studied that week, I made them get on their knees in the circle and do it. I don't know, you guys, we started off 30 something. I think we ended up with 3.
Scared them
well,
away.
That went over well.
But you know what? The women that stayed, I know for a fact all of them are incredible prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. And I saw the fruit, because what happens is that we do a lot of teaching in Christendom about something, but we don't necessarily do it. And prayer is one of those. We definitely do a lot of teaching about it, but we really don't do it. Mm-hmm. And I can testify, I can't tell you how many times I've asked for a call for prayer time for specific events and be the only person to show up, or one or two people, when it really should be thousands. There's, you know, but it's just, we're not willing to do it. We really are not. And we only learn by doing in that aspect. You can only grow in learning how to pray by practicing prayer.
Why is that? Why do people not come?
No, well, that goes back to last week when we asked the same question. What makes it, why would Jesus have to teach on prayer? It's because of sin and the distraction, and the very fact that Jesus in this prayer says, deliver us from evil, and that the enemy of God will do anything to distort, distract, doubt, you know, throw things, any kind of major D word works, you know, to get you from not drawing near to God. I mean, it's extremely crucial that we do. And as Jesus is teaching this process of holiness, it's like we have this barrier in our lives that we don't want to get into that process. One, because it's hard, it's not easy. But maybe because we like what we're doing and we don't want to have to shed things. There's lots of reasons why I think that we might. And what do you think?
Priorities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think that it's kind of like what you said. I want something when I want it. Mm-hmm. And we're so selfish. And I mean, I'm speaking for myself. Like, we're all selfish. And I understand that impatience.
Insecurity.
Yeah. And we don't want to wait for anything.
I know. Lord, forgive us. Yes. But if we understand the character of God, the attributes of God, then we are more apt to draw near even when it's not easy. And Sandy was sharing with me on the break that she had taken each aspect of the prayer of what Jesus had given, and she looked up the attributes of God related to that aspect of the prayer. Sandy, when it talks about in thy kingdom come, what is the main attribute that you learned was the most crucial attribute of God that we need to understand?
That God is sovereign. He is above everybody.
Okay. You know. Help me to understand sovereignty. Pretend I'm ignorant and I don't know what sovereignty is. What do you guys?
He was before time. He's after time.
Okay.
He's in the middle.
All right. If I get it, honestly, if I really get the sovereignty of God, am I going to flip out because I didn't get chosen before a drama part? Or am I going to, you know, wig out because such and such publishing house didn't like my work? Or am I going to, I mean, honestly and truly, if I believe in the sovereignty of God.
That God is in control.
It really causes us to let go of a lot of things. I think the thing is that we may know that in our mind. But we don't live in the truth that God is sovereign.
We're human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's hard to grasp sometimes.
But I think it goes back. We go through the Ten Commandments with our kids every night. And even though we do it, it's more of a reminder for me, really. But I just think to myself, there's a reason why he put the first four between our relationship, you know, with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if we don't have God first, nothing else will line up. If we are worshiping TV or worship, I mean, you know, you name it, food, we do it and we worship it. And then we wonder why things aren't aligned up, you know?
It's absolutely bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah. And so when I go through them with my children, because I want them to get it, you know, so we kind of go through it in their language. And I think, you know, it takes a while because this world, it will just shoves, you know, you need it now, you can have it now, that whole culture. And so it's completely, it's going up the escalator, going up a down escalator.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it works. It made sense. In my brain's logic, it did.
So it's just completely opposite of the way our culture is. That's why we have to be purposeful with prayer, and we have to be purposeful with understanding who our Creator is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if it's just studying the attributes of God, like Tara said, I think a lot of times people don't even know. So you just have to go back to the basics.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely important. And so Jesus took us through the attribute of God that he is holy. Mm-hmm. And then by kingdom come, it is his sovereignty. And so we're recognizing that he is so other and so in control. And I'm saying, come into these circumstances, come. And in the last month, that reality hit me hard when I was diagnosed with pneumonia, and that I had an agenda of things that I wanted to do, and was so taken off guard when I could not even like take myself to the doctor. And I was just laying there, and I really wanted to go into what they would call a dark night of the soul. I was so sick, and I was just crying. I was literally, y'all, I was just sitting there and I was crying. I was laying on my couch looking out and watching the snow fall. And I'm like, God, what do I do? And then I was like, I'm just going to be with you. And for days, I would lay on my couch. It was either the bed or the couch. That's all I could do. And I was laying there. And I don't know what day it stopped, but I had such an intimacy with God that it was like I was in dialogue nonstop, and I didn't have all the distractions of the world because my world shut down, and my world, as in my family, even knew I needed to be left alone. And so it was just me and God, and it was the most amazing, sweet, tender time with God that I can't even begin to tell you. And it was while I was praying and preparing mentally for this particular lesson. And recognizing his holiness and his kingdom. I know that his kingdom was very present while I was sitting there. And I knew his holiness and I knew his peace. And it didn't matter that my body was crazy. I was blessed by God because I was willing to allow myself to surrender to the sovereignty of God of what was going on at that time.
That's amazing. My question or my thought is, when you're saying thy kingdom come will look different for everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And the thing is what happens is that we get this mindset that kingdom come, we think, we're talking about the new Jerusalem. We're talking once, you know, the new reign happens. We're talking, you know, when we're all dead and gone. Hello. You know, but that's not what it's talking about. It's present. It is the present reality of the sovereignty of God today, right now, here in this radio station. The sovereignty of God, and that whoever's listening in the radio on to this show, whether by accident or intentional or podcast, the sovereignty of God is you're hearing it for a reason. God has a purpose in it. And he says, I want to be near to you. Draw into my intimacy. You will. You will know my intimacy if you seek to draw into me. And this process that Jesus was giving them. And so the reason why he said the next thing he says to them is then not just say, Holy God, not just say, I want your kingdom now, but I want your will. Okay, I don't like this. I don't like that I sound, to me, sound funny. Because I've had pneumonia. I don't like that. But the thing is I want God's will. And so in this, I'm going to say, God, whatever your will is, I am surrendered to your will. And then allowing what God has allowed to happen in our life to unfold a greater revelation of who he is intimately with him, and then who I am to be for him, through him. And so praying for that will to happen. And I think it was David Guzik. He's a commentator that's a scholar in Germany, I think, that I love to look up at the Blue Letter Bible. And he said, if you actually take those first three, it's kind of like what you said about the Ten Commandments. The first three deal with God. The last three deal with man on this prayer. It's the same as the Ten Commandments. It's divided equal. And he said, the first aspect has to do with drawing near to God and the holiness, and then the hope, because the kingdom is the hope. Mm-hmm. And then the will is the love revealed. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. So do you see how it's the holy hope of love revealed when we pray through the holiness, the kingdom, and the will of God? I mean, that radically changes our perspective when we look into life circumstances. You know, you don't have to get wigged out or whatever.
Well, I think you said the first thing is surrendering it. Uh-huh. Coming to him and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will.
Praying like Jesus. And
that's right. And that's the whole thing with some of us, most of us, is our problem is not letting go of what we already have an agenda and a plan. So what if God doesn't line up to my will?
And you know, that's where the disappointment in prayers not being answered, because we're not even asking for us. Our will.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we no longer believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe in the sovereignty of me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what it comes down to is, you know, who's on the throne. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that where intercessory prayer comes into, that Jesus is our, I love that.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. no matter what I might, the Spirit's helping me out.
And he can interpret when moans we can't speak it.
Moans and groans.
Thank God.
When only a tear can fall and you That's can't right. speak it, he is praying in our behalf.
Yeah, I told somebody the other day, tears are powerful. God hears your tears.
Yes, he does, and he keeps them in a bottle.
He does. I love that one.
I do.
That's one of my favorite scriptures.
It's an awesome passage. So I just want to pull us up, and I want us to go back and reflect for a second, because we're talking about what was Jesus moving towards? Why did Jesus teach this? Sabrina had asked on the second show of this series. And why would we have to learn? And so I want us to sum up and catch this. Okay, one, we're wishing forward. We're moving towards the character of God. We're wishing forward and moving towards our identity in Christ. Okay, mm-hmm. The kingdom come, and that's his reign. And we're wishing forward toward God's purposes in our life. Okay, so the first three pull us into the character, the identity, and the purpose of why we're here. And so it allows us to see who God is and to be a part of what he is working towards in our lives. It then is going to take us, and we're going to begin the process of looking at the last three, and we'll cover that the rest of today and next week. Because then it moves from focused on God to where it begins to focus on the man aspect. And the next thing he says is, give us this day our daily
bread.
Mm-hmm. Bread. Well, okay, what does that mean? Is he talking literal bread?
No. He supplies all of our needs mm-hmm. according to his riches and glory.
Yeah. You know, some mystics I was reading, I can't remember which commentator, you know, would like to say that it's talking just out there. It's not talking the physical, you know, not actually the manna, you know, that the bread that we need daily. But I went back, and in Exodus 16:4, listen to this verse. This is awesome. And I thought, you know what? He is talking literally bread. Mm-hmm. All right? Because we have an example of him even doing it in Exodus. Exodus 16:4 says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. They are to go out each day to gather enough for that day. And in this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, asking for our daily bread. What does that mean?
I love it, though, because he does it that day. You know, like we'll be praying and, you know, I hear all the time, oh, he showed up like right before it happened, you know, and because we're planners and whatever else we want to think of ourselves, we expect, you know, 24 hour notice, but God just comes in when it's his time. And when we're waiting for a bill to be paid or when we're waiting for a husband to turn around, he comes and he comes right on time. Mm-hmm. And our prayers and the will just, it's like this combustion, like boom.
It's amazing. I love it. And I love that it's then, it's now. It's not, and that's where, you know, that kingdom come. You know, yes, it is the future Jerusalem, but it's today. That's where we have to understand it's a yes today and yes tomorrow. But when it comes to the daily bread, it's now.
Yeah, it says what this day.
What I need. And it's not what I want. Because he says if they collect more than what they needed, what happened to the manna? It got moldy. Mm-hmm. It got gross. And so we don't want to have, we don't need that excess. Mm-hmm. We need the manna that's just for now. And so a good prayer to be asking is, God, give me the manna I need now. Mm-hmm. Whatever the manna is that you see that's going to best feed me for your glory, for your kingdom, for your will to be made known, that's the manna I want. That's the manna I want to eat. And so let's leave us on that thought and come back next week, and we're going to talk about the rest of the last three. God bless.